omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God governs the universe harmoniously and eternally. And in this government, there are no secret organizations and no fifth columnists that can govern or influence men or nations erroneously. Reason and logic show us conclusively that what appears as a human being with life and intelligence in and of himself is none other than mind's presence. Divine mind has unfolded himself out into this particular so-called personality. All there is to any personality, or all there is to anything this personality may seem to be or to do, is divine mind himself being and doing it. Therefore, man cannot be governed or influenced by anything but the divine mind. Christian scientists have power over evil beliefs because the Christ or truth which they individualize is power. Thinking rightly about the war is greater than the war. Which is greater, your understanding or the war? Your understanding is God with you, while war is error, therefore nothing. Christian scientists, as exponents of truth, have sufficient understanding to protect those at the head of our government, to protect our nation, and to protect all nations. We should clearly discern that any nation and all nations, our government and all governments, reflect wisdom and intelligence and cannot be influenced erroneously. Since we embrace our civilization, our government, and our universe in our thought, we should know that our true thought, or truth, governs all harmoniously. Let us rid our thought of hate, malice, and anger. Let us rid our thought of the desire to get even with somebody or some nation. Let us rid our thought of rivalry and contention, and maintain a clearly defined mental position based on truth. Such realization of truth is the law of annihilation to the belief of destruction, devastation, and death. Such realization will do something to the war, and will eventually destroy all sense of, or belief in, war. When we take the mental position that God is all, then man in his image and likeness cannot be an instrument through which hypnotism, suggestion, and deception can work. A position that God is all is a law of annihilation to the belief of fear, contention, or animal magnetism of whatever nature. When we take the mental position that God and man is one being, this basic truth is a law of education, enlightenment, and discernment of the divine presence, expressed as the idea of infinite love. Quote, love is the liberator. Close quote. Science and Health, 225-21. Among students of Christian Science, there has arisen the question whether material preparedness and defense is necessary, or whether spiritual preparedness and defense alone is sufficient. Now, in order that spiritual preparedness and defense may be equal to the emergency at hand, our understanding must be pure science, accompanied by omnipotent divine power. If we have the understanding to demonstrate God's allness, then there is no need for material preparedness and defense. But so long as we are taking our human footsteps, which are always indispensable, we do need intelligent material preparedness and defense. It seems that we, in our present growth, are in a stage of semi-metaphysics, wherein, as Mrs. Eddy says, our arguments are based on the false testimony of the material senses as well as on the facts of mind. Science and Health, 268-16. But surely no one will underestimate the value of spiritual mindedness and defense, without which no victory is really won. There is nothing soft or weak or effeminate about spiritual preparedness and defense. Spiritual preparedness and defense is the power of divine love and is as keen as steel. It takes strength of character and discipline of thought and great courage for us to become spiritually prepared to the extent that we have an adequate defense for every emergency. But any degree of spiritual preparedness, however small, is of the utmost value. Bible history shows us that no matter how great the material preparedness and defense of armies, it is only when spiritual power enters into the arena that victory is won. Why is this so? Because the operations of both armies are based on material observations and sense testimony, on fear and hate and pride. And it is only when the spiritual element enters in that victory for right is won. Take, for example, the armies of Abram. They were considered an adequate defense in that day. They moved as a tower of strength in their preparedness of horsemen and chariots, spears and swords in great array. But even these great warriors fell back before the oncoming hordes of the enemy, whose fiendish yells of victory were heard above the cries of defeat of Abram's armies. During this long night of defeat and terror, Abram, the one righteous man, watched the coming of Melchizedek, Prince and Priest of the Most High. Melchizedek came with the coming of the morning, but not with arms and great numbers of men. He came with only a few attendants. Yet the armies arrayed against Abram saw this vision of omnipotence, this coming of Melchizedek, as a great army advancing swiftly upon them. They saw their own fears personified and fell back upon their own swords, and were self-destroyed. Then did Abram and his armies know that God, the power of right mind, was the spiritual defense of his people and their strong deliverer. Again, we would say that the armies of Israel arrayed against the Philistines were great armies, both in size and ability. But the armies of Israel were not adequate for the victory over the Philistines. The victory came when David, challenging Goliath, said, quote, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Close quote. 1 Samuel 17:45-47. Both Abram and David had within themselves spiritual preparedness. They had gained this spiritual preparedness and power, which was their strong defense, through many trying experiences. Abram and David had within themselves clearly defined mental positions, and these mental positions were based on spiritual understanding, not on sense testimony, newspaper reports, or radio announcements. When Abram and David were confronted with overwhelming problems, they had no question or doubt as to the outcome of the situation, because their mental position was the infinitude and allness of God. Some may ask, should we never read or listen to the war news? To ignore the war news would not help in any way to overcome the belief in war. But to read all the war news and listen to all the radio broadcasts and saturate our mentalities with the horrors of war, only to have these reflected on our bodies and in our homes and business conditions, does not in any way help us or in any way correct the belief in war. If we do read and listen, it should be for the purpose of handling the error intelligently. Our recognition of man's oneness with God should be a law to the seeming situation. We should not be terrorized by what we hear, but we should deny it and handle it and never accept it as fact. Like Abram and David, our thought should be clearly defined as to the facts in the case. The mental position of each individual student of Christian Science should be clearly defined when it comes to the social economic revolutions that confront our world today, and especially when it comes to war. We should base our thinking on the allness of God, and we should be persistent and insistent in establishing a mental position based on truth. When our mental positions concerning the experiences which seem to be taking place humanly are based on divine facts, they are always accompanied with divine power. The time has come when spiritual truth must be the guide to practical life. We, as Christian Scientists, must seek and accept and fulfill the guidance of spiritual power, which is always above the concepts of the human mind. As working Christian Scientists, we say that the understanding of Christian Science is equal to every difficulty, whether the difficulty is great or small. These are days of seeming great difficulties and great tribulation, and these are wholly mental and must be met in the mentality. And our demonstrations of the divine facts at hand will depend entirely upon the mental position we maintain, and the results will be in the exact proportion that our thought is based on sense testimony or is based on the science of mind. All power is in the right thought or in the divine idea which we individually entertain. This is the only power in the universe. Thinking rightly, or establishing the fact about any situation, governs and controls aright the human concept. The power of right thought is in the thinking of it, or in the realization of it. Our understanding is God with us, and is the only power with which we demonstrate. We often hear it said that God governs the war. Let us remember that God is not something separate or remote from man, so we cannot leave all the responsibility of the war to a remote power. What we individually know of truth is power, and is God in action. To sense, the war is appalling, but the apathy and indifference and inactive attitude of thought towards the war among Christian Scientists is far more appalling. To sew and to knit and to make garments is a commendable thing, but it is never a substitute for the power of truth or true thought within the individual consciousness, which is most vital at this time. Day by day, we should know that nothing unlike good is taking place. When we read or cognize that our liberty is being threatened by the dominating powers of autocracy, we can even take care of that, because our idea of what is true, or the true idea which we individually entertain, is principle. And as we establish our thought on the side of principle, this principle is the law that governs and cares for the universe. There seem to be two sides to every question, both belief, but our treatment will meet the claim of evil that threatens to overcome the better side or the better belief. As we know, there is but one power, one thought, one side, then what seems to be the better side or the better belief will prevail. Principle and its action is law. Principle and its action is the law to man, that he shall be a state of harmony instead of a state of discord, that he shall be a state of liberty instead of a state of bondage. In regard to our country, we need to know that the government is upon his shoulders. Then we can slip out from under the burden and let truth unfold. We manage to do a lot of things when once we sense the power of right thought and realize that the right ideas which we entertain are one with principle and are law to any situation. We should keep uppermost in our consciousness that God, mind, is infinite, all power, all action, and then we are able, as Mrs. Eddy says, quote, to mightily rebuke a single doubt of the ever-present power of Divine Spirit to control all the conditions of man and the universe. Close quote. First Church of Christ Scientist and Miscellany, 294.13.